So we're sitting outside a church. It's what, about 2-something in the morning on Friday night. And Robin and I are certainly blissed out because we just spent time in this church.
Watching Jason Lytle at Granddaddy, which I talked about on the South by Southwest preview show. And it was everything I could have ever hoped it would be.
And Carrie Brownstein's not here. Stephen Thompson's here, too. What was your last event tonight?
You know, I feel bad. I always talk about this sometimes, the babysitter rule, where if I would pay a babysitter $10 a night or $10 an hour to watch my kids while I go out to see a band, if I would do that for a band, I'm just gonna see them here. I tried to avoid that. I tried to skip my favorite stuff and see things I'd never seen before. But after I waited for this band called Still Flyin' that one of our coworkers was very strongly recommending, and I waited for them to noodle around and goof off for 20 minutes. It was 1:20 in the morning, and they were still like boom, 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 boom. so finally, I just threw up my hands and went and saw Shearwater for like the umpty gazillionth time.
Poor you.
I know.
Poor you.
I ran into Thor on the street, and I promised him I'd be there, but I got carried away by, I'm sorry, Thor.
So you broke your promise to Thor?
I did. I don't know where the bolts of lightning
like
are going.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to get struck with lightning. I don't know, man. I hopefully saved you. I mean, of course, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. Wasn't exactly a revelation for me, since it was, yeah, like I said, probably the 10th time I've seen that band. But that was the last thing I saw. And you know, I've been doing that kind of on and off throughout the day. I'll see something new, and then I'll do a little palate cleansing with something I already knew I loved. So I did that with Shearwater. I did that. I ended up stumbling across the Thermals again, even though I saw them yesterday. And and Horse Feathers, even though they played a Tiny Desk concert that we haven't put up online yet. I mean, what are you going to do? I love those bands.
I started my day. I had to give a talk. This is one of those conferences things. And we did an NPR music thing presenting music in strange places is what it was called. And we talked about Project Song. And we had Nellie Mackay came as a guest. Sure. And she did this beautiful ukulele rendition of the song Hi Lily, Hi Lily, Hi Lo. You know that song?
Sure.
It was just gorgeous. And then Towton Wynn was there, and she played a solo. And then Shearwater were there.
They did come, because I showed up for a while, and upon not seeing Shearwater, I just left.
They were just sitting in the dark.
I know my friend Bob was on stage talking, but you know, I'm not made of stone.
They did a new song, and it was absolutely stunning and gorgeous.
You're just gonna start making stuff up now. They showed up with the ghost of Jeff Buckley. You missed it.
Last time you missed me. Who'd you see this morning? What video shoot? Did we have Mikachu? Was that this morning?
Of video shoots today.
Was Mikachu this morning?
Mikachu was
that
this
was
morning.
A strange little shoot.
Yeah.
There was a wedding set up in this gorgeous hotel, the Driscoll, and Mika Levy came. With a very sort of, would you say it was like a child's guitar that she had done things to?
I was trying to figure out what it was. Yeah, it was either a child size or a toy guitar. It was not a regular size guitar, and it was nylon string, and she was really hammering at it and doing all kinds of weird things with the strings.
And we'll put that video up online.
Yeah, I was going to say, the good news with the performances that you guys set up is that we'll all get to go back and watch them. So...
She was she was actually kind of funny. She did her first song, which was this really sort of dissonant sort of, I don't even know what it really was. It wasn't like a standard chord progression or anything. She finished, and then she had to tune her guitar for the next song.
She used a magic marker as a slide.
Yeah, she was using a magic marker on it, and I thought it was tuned a certain way. I mean, it just sounded like she was just hammering at it and sliding this magic marker up and down the strings, but it was good fun. It was really
great. Good fun. We had back at the Driscoll, we also videotaped Mira, and
that was
lovely. We did her in the Jim Hogg room at the Driscoll. This is all cattle money that made this incredible place that's turned into this gorgeous hotel.
today, gentlemen, was all about making dreams come true for me. It really was. I got to see Mira finally play. So we did the video shoot with her, and then I saw her perform at Antone's, and saw her whole set, and then afterwards saw a little bit of St. Vincent as well, which was really wonderful. Very surprising for me. I've never been a huge fan, but I'm going to go back and listen to their stuff.
I was totally sold that she did a lot of new material, some of which we captured that haven't put online yet at their rehearsal space the other day. We have videotapes of that. And she was absolutely magnificent. You know, one of the most beautiful human beings in the world. And she plays guitar.
She doesn't just play guitar. She is a really, really good guitar. Yeah. She was shredding that. Yeah.
She was absolutely a great guitar player.
Well, while Robin's dreams were coming true, and we haven't even gotten, I know, to what Robin is happiest about, but while your dreams were coming true, I saw Taylor Hansen from the band Hansen.
would you one-up him with third eye?
Oh, I hung with the third eye blind dude. I'm totally blanking on his name.
Stephen Jenkins.
Yeah, I saw it. But he, you know, that was at the Vanity Fair party, and he was actually ended up being he was a really nice guy. And he was smart. We talked a lot about music, and
so I was at that party. And I didn't get to hang out with Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind. What gives, man? I did talk to the actor who played Roy, Pam's fiance on The Office.
Was that at the Vanity Fair party?
He was at both. He was at both NPR parties, and a great guy. But anyway, dreams coming true. I saw Taylor Hansen from the band Hansen, Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins, and Bun E. Carlos from Cheap Trick.
Wow.
In a power pop supergroup called Tinted Windows, and you know, I picked one of their songs, the Song of the Day, the other day, and I. But even having done that, even having listened to the record, and now even having seen them live, I cannot decide whether I hate this band. It was just power pop straight out of the Adam Schlesinger. You know, he wrote the song That Thing You Do. He wrote the Josie and the Pussycat songs. He's written a lot of obviously
textbook
power pop. I know they're an incredibly polarizing band already, even though the record hasn't come out yet. And I felt like the crowd was polarized. I felt like a part of the crowd was just dancing on couches. It was a strange venue, and the other half had their arms folded. It was kind of I had a couple of experiences like that today where I just couldn't decide what to think. I also saw the band Hot Leg, which I hope I don't butcher this name. I think it's Justin Hawkins. He was the lead singer of The Darkness, which is sort of a new hair metal band from a few years ago.
The amount of names and information that your brain contains. I can barely remember Bob's name when I come in the morning.
I can't remember any of my login information on whatever website I'm trying to access. But anyway, Hot Leg was much like The Darkness in that it was just ridiculous preening jackassery. including a guy dressed in a puffy pirate shirt. the singer himself, if I remember correctly, and remember, of course, this is all a blur, I believe he was wearing some sort of cross between Sergeant Pepper style gear and a Michael Jackson leather zippered outfit.
Wow.
And it was lots, and with hair straight out of a 1981 Rod Stewart video.
It's Friday night in Austin here at South by Southwest. It's now about 2:30 in the morning. There's not anyone sleeping.
No.
We got to meet Tucker Martine.
Oh, wow.
And we spent a bunch of time, and you know, we've been kicking around this idea.
Yeah, right? So you know about my Extreme Music Makeover. Yes. Find a great producer and put him with average artist.
I'm more interested in finding the artist who's willing to admit that he or she is mediocre.
Well, he had a good idea, and maybe we'll do this, which is what you ask people to submit stuff. Like, would you want to work with a great producer for a couple days in the NPR studio? Send us your stuff. And I don't know. We're just talking about it right now. It's a fun idea, so maybe we'll.
So the idea is great producer, somewhat lesser artist. See if a great producer can make a lesser artist great.
Right.
That's the idea. Right. So it's the Extreme Music Makeover.
Absolutely.
Just ideas coming out of our pores.
Stay tuned.
But I do have. Where did I?
He liked the idea. I mean, he'd even heard of it. He had read Robin's blog post.
That's amazing.
That's great. And Tucker Martin, for those who don't know, is just produced the new Decemberists record, the Laura Gibson record, Laura Veers records, Towden Wynn's record. We quite like him, and it was really a pleasure to meet him. He's going to do a talk tomorrow at a conference, so I'm going to run and hear that.
The biggest highlight for me, of course, was we did a video shoot with Jason Lytle, and I hope I didn't creep him out too much, you know. That's why I'm still wearing my suit tonight from the Vanity Fair NPR party. I wanted to look good for the show tonight. But
he walked right by you, and he didn't even recognize you from the earlier session, because the schlub that was doing the video earlier didn't look at all like you.
Jason. But I did have two nice surprises. I wasn't expecting it. Do you know an artist named Teresa Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, Robin, if you read a column we do at NPR.org called Song of the Day, you might be familiar with Teresa Anderson.
No, I hadn't heard of her. She was great. She was before Mira, and she did all this incredible looping stuff.
She was like one that looping herself.
Yeah, with her vocals and violin and guitar and... It was really spectacular. She had an incredible voice. So she was really nice. And then Laura Marling, seeing her here at the church before Jason came on. It was just a treat. I wasn't expecting to catch her.
Now, you were saying that you've never actually seen Granddaddy in concert, but now, for the first time you got to see Jason Lytle. Mm-hmm. How did it compare to your expectations of what you would hope you would see seeing Granddaddy?
That's a good question. He asked me when we were doing the video shoot, I said, I'm really enjoying the album.
He asked you, how do I compare to Granddaddy?
he said, do you think he basically said, do you think it sounds like a Granddaddy album? Do you think it's just a kind of a continuation? And I said, yeah, I thought it really did. And he said, good. He said, I'd read that a couple times. And so I think he wants it to sound like that. But seeing the show, the video shoot was great, but actually it was much nicer seeing him here do a whole bunch of songs.
With a full band, he had a trumpet player, a really tasty guitar player, and the drummer from Granddaddy.
Wow, I don't know. It just slayed me. Every song. What I loved about Granddaddy, what I love about Jason's songwriting is the stories. It's just every song has such a great story, and usually a heart-wrenching one, and you want to get to the end of the story and find out what happens. And
I saw a couple of Brooklyn bands that I was looking forward to seeing and walked away feeling kind of lukewarm. One was Harlem Shakes, whose record I was attracted to before I came here. And I'll probably put a song on All Songs Considered. It was okay. And then Pains at Being Pure at Heart.
Oh, yeah. I tried to see them this afternoon, and there were 900,000 hipsters. It was at the Pitchfork party, and it was impossible to get in. But they sounded good through the walls.
Good. That's what I thought, too. They sounded good.
I liked that record.
I was expecting... I haven't heard the album yet. I was expecting to be really bowled over, and I just felt it was material worn pretty well through in the past by many, many, many bands.
Sure.
But there was something to them that was there. There was a little bit of a spark, and so I'm curious to go back and hear the album.
I think there's some strong songwriting on that record. I think there are songs that have stuck with me. Actually, and I caught some of the Airborne Toxic Event, which I quite liked. You know, I was a little slow to pick up on that record, and I'm kind of... It's only taken like a year, but I'm kind of slowly falling for that record. And it was fun to see them live. And I know you know Mikel Jolet from his past at NPR. I didn't work at NPR when he worked there, so I like to think that I'm unbiased enough to say that he's really good.
That's great to know. Because his ambition, he was a writer. He was, wrote for Filter, and he wrote for NPR. I was his editor for All Things Considered when he did some reviews, including a Granddaddy review.
He's a great writer.
And... And he really was passionate about doing something different with his life. And
well, I gotta say, his songwriting comes from the standpoint of being a great writer. That shows in his songwriting. Where's Carrie?
So I texted you, and I texted Carrie too, saying, "Hey, let's meet at the church at 2 a.m." The response from Stephen was, "Works for me!" And with a big exclamation mark. And I got a text back from Carrie saying, "Seriously?" with an exclamation mark and two question marks. And I said, "What?" She said, "I have a flight at 7 o'clock in the morning," which means she's walking out of the hotel here probably in the next 3 hours, you know, to catch a cab and get...
We were thinking we could just hang out.
Yeah. I almost wrote her back and said, just stay up. I mean, just stay. You're not going to get any sleep now anyway. But she's got to catch a 7 a.m. flight, so that's why she's not with us today.
Well, I'm going to miss her because it's been fun hanging out with her. We only get to see her once a year.
I didn't even get to say goodbye.
She did that last year, too. Hey, Carrie, what's up with that?
I'm sure she'll be listening to this first thing in the morning.
So, one more day left. We'll get together tomorrow night.
Still more to discover.
It's going to get slimmer. It's just going to be you two tomorrow night. Because I'm also on a plane tomorrow evening. So, I'll be here during the day. But
Eventually, it'll just be Bob. Bob sobbing quietly.
Rocking back and forth.
Good night, everybody.